Welcome to season 5 of the Gospel Life Podcast.
Yay! I can't believe it's been 5 years of Gospel Life Podcast.
I know. I didn't even realize it until I actually went back and categorized all of the episodes into seasons, which we had never done before.
Mm-hmm.
And now we realize that this is the first episode of season 5. So we're going to celebrate it a little bit.
Yeah, so much has happened.
I know. In the previous season, some of them were very erratic. Last year, we kind of got into a rhythm, and hopefully we will this year. But we'll see. We'll see. This is season 5, only up from here, right?
Yep.
So today's episode will be about furlough. We had intended to record some podcast episodes while we were on furlough. Didn't happen.
Nope.
And so this episode is going to kind of make up for that. And
a recap of our furlough.
A recap of our furlough and kind of talk about the concept of furlough as well.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Stacy Lee. We're missionaries in Malawi with Gospel Life.
And this is the Gospel Life Podcast, where we talk about Malawi missions and more.
So when people get furloughed from their job, then they are laid off. They are not working.
Yeah.
But that's not how furlough works for missionaries.
Right, right. That can be a little bit of a misconception, I guess, because the same word is used. So, you know, if I furloughed an employee, that would be kind of probably a temporary layoff.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we just don't have the funds and we're laying you off for a year and then hopefully we'll be able to rehire you. And if you think that's what's happening when a missionary goes on furlough, you are dead wrong. The other misconception, which maybe is a little similar, is that it's a vacation.
Yeah.
And I communicated with my team here what I was doing while I was there. And even while we were doing it, we were communicating, hey, we're going to this church, we're doing this, you know, so they understood why I was gone. But even when I got back, I've had people say, hey, did you enjoy your holiday? Which, you know, is a British word for vacation.
Yeah.
In America, people say, hey, are you enjoying your vacation?
Yeah. Yeah. And while in one sense it is a vacation from life here, we, especially you, were working really hard that whole time.
Yeah, so I think even in the missionary community, there may be some disagreement on what the purpose of your furlough or home assignment, stateside assignment, different terms used by different organizations. There may be a little bit of disagreement, but I think we take the concept that this is not for time off. This is a time for us to connect with our supporting churches and partners in the U.S. That's what it's for.
And also family.
And family, that's right. To connect with family, to have a time, if we add a third thing, to have a time where our children especially can have a deeper connection with their home culture or
yeah.
their passport culture, as most people would prefer to say. So, you know, those are the three main things, but time off, time resting, we would rest better probably on a vacation here or,
yeah.
Or, you know, sometimes you might think about a missionary needing a sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say a sabbatical is different from a furlough.
Very different.
So sabbatical is a time where you're going specifically to rest and recharge and refresh yourself, especially spiritually, for the work. And you're probably, if you're going on a sabbatical, you're probably not needing to go back to your passport country
right.
to do that. Because
yeah.
then you're going to get sucked in.
To the seeing everybody and the going all the places and the yeah. doing all the things.
Yeah, which is...
That's not sabbatical.
Is fun in its own way, but exhausting in a different way.
So exhausting.
Yeah, so furlough is for reporting to your churches, raising more support, visiting family and acquainting your family, your kids, with their passport culture.
Yep.
Okay, so that's kind of our conception of furlough. And maybe, you know, some other missionaries might disagree with us. Maybe they do think it's a time of rest. And it is, it's a rest in the sense that it's a change of scenery.
Yeah, it was getting out of this culture. And it's kind of a rest from the culture stress.
Yes, yeah. So you can go to the grocery store and it not be a high stress level event.
Or you can have the grocery store deliver to your house.
That's right, which we did a lot of.
Which didn't exist 4.5 years ago when we left.
Yeah. So it's a rest in that sense. But it's not just meant to be restful.
Right.
If that makes sense. And, you know, we will talk in a little bit about how we really are exhausted from our furlough. Right now, and we need a season of rest, but that's for another part of the show. So just summary, give people the lowdown of where we were, what we were doing, when we were there.
So we left Malawi in June 2022.
Yes.
And we had the wonderful opportunity to stay in a sweet little house in Murray, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Very sweet, very little, but really great for our needs. We're really thankful for it. And
an answer to prayer, for sure.
A huge answer to prayer. We thought we might be living in an RV the whole time.
Yeah.
So we were super thankful for that sweet little house. Anyway, we were there from June.
Can I just plug something? Because I know we have a lot of listeners in West Kentucky.
Okay.
Can I just plug that the need for missionary housing in our home area of West Kentucky is a super big need.
Yeah.
There, you know, some parts of the country, you have a lot of churches that have missionary homes for missionaries that are on furlough. But in West Kentucky, there's not many options, especially in Murray, Marshall County, the area that we're from. And what a better place for missionaries that, whether they're from our area or not, what a better place for them to settle down with all the outdoor activities, with playing between the lakes and all those things. It's a great place for people to be, and it's centrally located to a lot of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're visiting churches in Illinois or down south or what, you're in a great location for that. So I don't know. I just felt like putting that out there, maybe the Lord will put on someone's heart, hey, our church is going to buy a house or something like that and make this a missionary furlough location.
Yeah, Murray would be an amazing place for that.
Yeah, and if you want, you know, some ideas about, you know, how to do that, feel free to contact us and I can tell you, you know, how to get that in the missionary community that it exists and that kind of thing. But
yeah. So anyway, we were there from June to January. We were about 10 minutes down the road from your parents, about an hour down the road from mine. So we got to spend a lot of time with family. Josh visited different churches almost every single Sunday, a lot of Sunday nights, a different church, and several Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
The whole 7 months we were there, I think you only didn't preach, what, three?
Three
Sunday mornings.
Yeah, the first Sunday we were there, one Sunday got canceled because the pastor moved to a different position and he was my connection to the church, which was fine because it worked out that our daughter Taylor had believed the gospel and wanted to be baptized, so I got to be there and baptize her. And then Christmas Day was on a Sunday, so I didn't go preach anywhere on Christmas Day.
Right, but even New Year's Day and even two or three days before we left.
Yeah, which you was were traveling a little and crazy. I regret that. But like we said, the goal from the beginning was report to churches that are already supporting us and find new support from churches. And so that was the entire purpose we went back. That was the number one reason. So we were wanting to make the very most of that. And We did. I couldn't have done it anymore. And I enjoy it. I love it.
It's such a blessing.
Yes.
Visiting all the churches. The kids and I, we mostly stayed in Murray and went to Hardin Baptist, but we did visit churches with you some. And just every church is such an encouraging blessing to visit. People are so happy to see us and so full of encouragement.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish you guys could have went along with me more, but, you know, with a big family. And also, we just wanted especially our older ones, to really kind of have a youth group experience.
Yeah.
So we wanted them to feel rooted at Hardin Baptist and really get the full youth group experience, which was an incredible blessing to our girls to see other youth really, really serious about their faith.
Yeah, I think they both grew so much during that time.
And of course, Taylor even finally expressing faith in the gospel.
Yeah.
So that was a goal, and that was achieved.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, okay, so we were in Murray mostly. We did some traveling as a family. We traveled out west for a month. Visited one church in Colorado, two churches in Arizona, one church in Texas, and did a big old loop, went all the way out to California.
And we tent camped, mostly in national parks.
Yeah,
in
about
between.
Half the month we were in a tent, half the month we were in Airbnbs and hotels and things.
It was amazing. It was the experience of a lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. It was exhausting as well. But,
so exhausting.
But it was... It was good because it was a change of pace for the family. There was something to do, something new to see every day. So the kids actually did better.
They really did.
Than they did just, you know, being in one location and not having a routine that they were used to.
Yeah, it was a 7,000-mile, 30-day road trip. And when we pulled in the driveway of our house in Murray, Jude cried and tried to turn the van back on.
Yeah, and kept putting my hands on the steering wheel. He did not want to be back. He wanted to keep going. The kid would travel. Of course, Jude's our nonverbal autistic son, for those who aren't regular listeners of the show. So, but he has a way of expressing himself, and that was
He would definitely be one of those people who live in their van if he could.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, maybe in retirement we'll travel everywhere with Jude, and
he would love it.
Go nonstop. But, so then we were there for the holidays, and then in January we made our way back to Malawi.
Yep,
and got here like January 20th or something like that.
I don't even remember.
Yeah,
Haley did a weekend. We intentionally stayed long enough for Haley to do this discipleship weekend with the youth group where they go skiing.
Yeah.
And she literally got home and jumped in the van, and we left for St. Louis to go to the airport.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it was bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. We kind of have touched on some of the hard parts. Let's talk about hard parts, and then let's talk about great parts of our furlough experience. We had, just to kind of reflect, this was our first furlough as missionaries in Malawi. We had had kind of a mini furlough experience when we were much younger, had one child.
A baby.
And we were in Moldova for 2 years, but we had gone back to the U.S. for 3 months. Mm-hmm. So we kind of had a little bit of an experience with it, but nothing to this level with a full family, and we're old and cranky and... Our bodies are falling apart, and
much longer.
And 7 months. And this is kind of like, then we knew, everybody knew this was like a 2-year experience for us. But this was, okay, we're telling you what our lives are about, what we're doing. So, so from this first furlough experience, what was the most difficult things, maybe things that we might try to change in the future?
The kids? Can we just leave them here?
No, with the kids, we have to keep.
No, but honestly, we homeschool here with the help of tutors, local college graduates who come and actually do the homeschooling for me. Mm-hmm. And so we had planned, because we were going to be doing so much traveling, we had planned to just homeschool, or actually like kind of unschool, not really do much school at all, while we were in America. And we really quickly realized that that was not a great setup.
Yeah.
But then because we were traveling so much in the fall semester, we couldn't put them in school.
Yeah.
The local private Christian school wouldn't take them because they were going to miss so much. And we couldn't put them in public school because of truancy laws.
Yeah.
So we just kind of all got stuck at home together all the time.
Yeah.
And
the boys would get bored
and fight,
which means Jude would get into things and make a mess or something. And the other two, Abe and JJ, would end up just fighting, you know, all the time.
All the time.
The girls, you know, likewise, they're bored as teenagers and they get kind of cranky. And
we all got cranky.
Yeah. Yeah. So having more of a routine to life in the U.S. would have been very beneficial for us. And I don't know how we would do it differently in the future. I don't know what opportunities would be out there, but it made it really difficult.
It did. But we really loved the timing of our road trip.
Yeah.
We road tripped from mid-September to mid-October, and weather-wise and crowds-wise in the national parks, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I couldn't have asked for a better timing of the road trips. We wouldn't want to do a trip like that in the summer when everybody's out of school.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're chewing on that. We don't know.
And of those four churches we visited out west, all four of them are supporting churches now. So, you know, that's a trip that we're going to be making in some form regularly now. Not to mention other churches in the West that we may have some leads with that may come on board later.
If anybody is listening who has contacts with churches in Hawaii, we are recruiting for a supporting church in Hawaii that we could go visit.
That's right.
So please
forward
let us know.
This podcast to pastors in Hawaii, all of them that you know. And you know, if we just had to go just ourselves as a couple, you know, we
would make that sacrifice.
Yeah, if you can't afford to fly the entire family to Hawaii, that's all right.
Yeah.
The two of us will go alone. I think that the transition back to Malawi was also much harder than we ever expected it to be.
Still is
a lot harder.
More than 2 months in, and whew, it's been a doozy.
Yeah, we thought we had set things up where it would be a smooth transition, but all of our plans kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
Jude has a helper, and we kept her kind of on a retainer, but then she found another opportunity, which was great. We fully support her in taking that opportunity, but then coming back and having no one to help with Jude, who requires 24-hour attention.
Yeah, somebody has to have eyeballs on him at all times.
Yeah.
And so if we don't have a helper here to do that, then one of us has to just be with him.
Yeah. And then so also you were the very first week you were hiring three tutors for, you know, one for Jude, one for the boys, one for the girls. And so you were busy with that. We were trying to get unpacked and settled in.
You only gave yourself a week before your school started.
Yeah. Which was a mistake. It just kind of dragged out, you know, especially with the tutor for Jude. We hired someone. He wasn't a good fit. We had to fire him. We
have more interviews.
More interviews. more of us, you know, having our time split at home. You're having to interview people. I can't work in the office and get things done. And it just was a long period where we hadn't established that routine that we were hungry for the entire time we were on furlough. Maybe finally this week, that's one of the reasons we're even recording a podcast
at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. His new teacher is great. And I'm so thankful for her.
And then, of course, ministry plans being interrupted by Cyclone Freddy, which is frustrating in its own way. And, you know, we're thankful for God's blessing and care over us. But at the same time, we were ready to be in a routine that we had set up and planned. And it's all just off the board now.
Yeah. And then, you know, like the first 6 weeks or so, it was, okay, we've got to get the fridge fixed and we've got to get the freezer fixed and let's get somebody to look at our solar backup. And let's...
Everything had developed problems in the house.
Every electronic thing.
Yeah. And so like with the refrigerator, for example, that doesn't mean calling one guy. That means we called one guy, he did something, it wasn't right. And so then we're asking who can... You know, texting WhatsApp groups and asking at the store we bought, you know, who can we get? And, you know, like 3 guys later, finally finding someone who can actually fix the thing.
And it's still really hot on one side, which I don't think is right, but at least it's cooling.
I think they put too much Freon in it, but...
Anyway, so it was like 6 weeks of just trying to get stuff fixed and no water some days and no power for days on end. Yeah. And
it's been a long, difficult transition. And it still is, but hopefully piece by piece we're coming back together.
But you know, it's been a difficult transition for you and me, but I think the kids are doing amazing.
That's true. And it was almost as soon as we got back here, just you could see a lot of the tension just kind of dissipate for them.
Yeah. They've been, especially like Taylor, JJ, and Abe have been playing so much with our neighbors.
Yeah.
And, you know, spending more time outside here. We've got the nice weather
and reconnecting
with friends.
We haven't mentioned this yet. In the second half of today's show, we're going to have them come in and talk about furlough. They had a lot of anxiety, certain ones more than others, about coming back. They had made friends in the U.S. They love their grandparents. We really
love the cousins.
Yeah, connected deeply with my sister's kids. And then to say, we're going to be gone. And now they have a little bit of a sense of how far away Malawi is.
And how long 4 years is.
How long 4 years is. It was very hard. It was much harder to say goodbyes this time than it was the first time we moved here.
The first time we moved, I think Taylor was the only one that cried. The others were just kind of like, do, whatever.
Yeah.
And she mostly just cried because she was going to miss her grandparents.
Yeah.
This time, I think we all cried.
Yeah.
It was even, I was really surprised that even Abe and JJ.
Yeah.
Both just cried so hard multiple times right before we left. Yep. And then Jude in the airport.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
You want to tell it?
Well, I'll start. So we're flying out of St. Louis, and the St. Louis airport, the check-in is upstairs, and then you take the escalator downstairs to security. And so we checked in, got all of our bags checked in, and we were going...
And your parents and my mom had come with
That's
us.
That's right. And so we were going to give our hugs and say goodbye there on the top floor. And then our family was going to go downstairs to security because that was all that was at the bottom of the escalator. And so we give all of our hugs and we start to walk away. And then Jude goes back and starts pulling on
both of our moms.
So we said, okay, they can come downstairs with us. So they come downstairs, and then we get to like the barricade that only passengers can pass for the TSA. And every time we try to go, Jude goes back to start dragging them with us.
I think that one got all of us.
Yeah, that was pretty hard. And finally, like, they had to, like, I had to distract Jude, and they had to, like, run around a corner.
Yeah.
And hide so that he would come. So, you know, he's an expressive guy, even though he's nonverbal.
For a kid that doesn't speak, he knows how to get his point across.
Yeah. I know that was pretty hard on our moms, but it was pretty precious too, to know that he cares that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So great parts of our furlough. There were a lot of great parts.
So many.
Yeah. So we enjoyed, you know, seeing a lot of the U.S. and you guys enjoyed going to Disney World. I came.
Yeah, we got an amazing Christmas gift of 2 days at Disney with Josh's family, and it was awesome.
I actually had a nightmare last night.
About going to Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I woke up in the middle of the night after having a nightmare that we were about to leave like 2 days from the U.S., and you and my mom got free tickets to Disney or something, and we were going to have to go to Disney World. And
that's how much you loved it.
That was, yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But.
No, we went the first week of December. Crowds were super low for Disney, which means they were like kind of at the max that we would have tolerated. But we really enjoyed it.
We mentioned the Western road trip, and you know, that was amazing getting to see all the national parks and stuff.
And just all the time spent with family.
Yeah.
Especially yours, because they were so close, and your sister and her kids were in Western Kentucky for what, 6 weeks? As soon as
something
we got there,
something like that. Yeah, they live in Florida, so they got to Kentucky the same day that we did.
Yeah,
and that was great because we had had two nieces born while we were here that we had never met in person.
Yeah.
And so we were able to win them over, and the kids were able to really develop deep relationships. So that was wonderful. And we mentioned, you know, all the churches we visited. It was wonderful to get to visit so many churches and see people that we hadn't seen in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And then also meet new faces and new giving and prayer partners. And our goal was just to really get the mission on a very sound financial footing, mm-hmm. And we did. We obviously, there's always more we can do. There's more that we can do to expand programs and inflation and all those things. So don't feel like
we don't need any more
people coming on to support us, but. We also are at a very strong point, so I'm very happy about that. So blessed by so many new churches coming on board, old churches increasing their giving, new individuals giving. I mean, it was amazing to see what God did, and we're just, you know, such an answer to prayer.
Yeah, it was.
God provides for the needs of Gospel Life through your prayers and gifts.
To become a prayer or giving partner, go to gospellife.org.
So we have our daughters in, two lovely, wacky, weirdo daughters. And for those of listeners who don't know, we have a daughter named Haley, who is 14?
15.
Oh, wow.
It's birthday season, so everybody's ages are changing. I can't keep up with it. Haley is 15, and Taylor is 13.
Yes.
All right. So Taylor is a middle schooler, and Haley is a high schooler now, mm-hmm. even though in homeschool we never even remember what grades we're in anymore.
I remember now because this is important.
So, Mama, what's the first question you want to ask?
Well, just tell us a little bit about your favorite part of furlough.
I think the road trip, but not the hottest places.
but most of the places.
What was your favorite part of the road trip?
Probably the beach park we went to in California.
Mm, that was amazing.
Yeah, and it wasn't too hot, and there were real bathrooms.
They were actually showers in those bathrooms, uh-huh. which there weren't at most of the campgrounds we stayed at.
So I did like that one.
Yeah, and you even got in the ocean, which you didn't plan on doing, right?
I didn't like the surfing, though.
Yeah.
But I liked just playing in the ocean, but not going too far.
Yeah. Tay, what was your favorite part?
Probably just seeing a lot of friends and family.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite friend or family? No, I guess you're not supposed to say that out loud.
It would definitely be Rosie.
Yeah, my sister's daughter. Okay, so what was, Taylor, we'll start with you. What was maybe a really hard part of furlough? Maybe it was something that was surprising that you didn't expect to be that hard.
I guess probably just the transition, because I knew it was different, but I wasn't thinking that different, I guess, because it had been 4 years that I wasn't really thinking about, like, how different it could be, how hard to adjust again.
What was different about it?
I don't know. Everything.
Wow. Was there anything in particular that stood out to you? Like, whoa.
I guess, like, when you're driving, and for one, you drive on the other side of the road, and also there's no shops or people or anything. I mean, I guess in some of the cities there are some, but not really.
Yeah. We all commented when we first got back about how boring the roads were, right?
Yeah, because there's no people. Everyone's just driving. Except in some of the places like Nashville, there are people walking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you guys almost thought that, like, everyone had been raptured or something, right? You're like, where are all the people?
So, Haley, what was a surprising difficulty from your perspective?
Probably just seeing all the people, like, at church and stuff. And then you see that they have their own separate lives. And, you know, they all, like, know each other from school and stuff. And I'm just here, like, not going to school. And so as much as you're trying to be a part of their lives, and then you can't really, because they've had 4 whole years, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard when you've been away to hop back into old friendships.
Yeah.
Even though I think you had some great friends who really tried really hard, but it just naturally is difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you made some new friends, right?
Mm-hmm. Good people, though.
Yeah.
What was something that is different from Malawi that you really enjoyed about America? That was maybe a chance to feel a little more normal or something like that.
Probably the shopping situation, because, you know, everything's just nice and together. Like, here are the shirts and here are the pants. Oh, so nice. And the restaurants. There's a lot more restaurants that we could eat at.
Yeah.
So many restaurants. We got tired of Chick-fil-A, didn't we?
Yeah, because every single time, Daddy would be like, let's go to Chick-fil-A.
Tay, what do you think?
Probably just anywhere. Like, nobody really points you out because kind of more normal. And, like, the skin color is the same. And, well, even if it is different, like, they don't comment about it like they do here, and you can just be a normal person doing
so. What happens when we walk down the street or go anywhere in Malawi?
Well, everyone stares at us, and, like, not usually not the older kids or the grown-ups, but the little kids will be like,
so excited
to see the white people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just get treated differently and like an oddball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even when you're, like, shopping, then they'll, like, lift prices or something.
Yeah, so it was nice to blend in a little bit more in America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you girls, I mean, we're talking about colleges. We're talking about, you know, the fact that pretty soon both of you will be transitioning to adulthood and all that stuff, and that sounds weird and scary. But as you think about life, do you look forward to maybe having a season of your life living in America again? Or you think kind of, I don't know if I could really go back and be the same?
I'm really excited. Think I am.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe not forever, but for some time at least, I think I probably could. Now that I just know a little bit more about it now and what it's like now.
So, yeah.
Now that we visited.
Yeah. You forgot a lot, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd sort of like made things up in my mind thinking that's how I remember them to be. And then I got there and that's not how they were.
Can you give any examples of that?
Well, a lot of it was like the people, because I still remembered them from 4 years ago. So then I still had like what they were like 4 years ago. And then I went there and they'd all changed a lot and they were all taller. And like all the new kids that had gone to the school, like New Covenant, that I didn't know now because they weren't there when I was there.
Yeah.
Of course, the downside, another downside is that you guys are getting old enough that if you were in Kentucky, you'd be getting your driver's licenses. But here, not going to happen.
Well, I'm not too sad about that because I don't think I'd want to learn to drive yet. But probably if I was in America and everyone was learning to drive, then I would. But I don't really feel sad about it here.
Yeah.
Just like, okay.
Driving here is a lot crazier experience than driving in America, isn't it?
Yeah, because there's people everywhere and goats and chickens and little kids and
and potholes and dirt roads. Yeah. And
I don't think I'd be too good at that.
Yeah. Which you can't even get your driver's license until 18. So even if you wanted to, you couldn't do it here. So
yeah, but it's not that big of a deal for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming in on the Gospel Life podcast.
You're welcome.
What do you think your brothers are going to say?
Oh, there's no telling.
Is there anything else you want to say about furlough?
That it was great seeing all the people, and I'm glad that we were able to come.
Okay, so now we have our two younger boys. We have JJ, who is
Abe,
and Abraham. Abraham is going to turn 7 on Monday. That's right. And JJ
is... You
said you were going to cancel. JJ is 11, right? I got it right. And of course, we have Jude, who's 13, but he doesn't say much, so we just had...
He's 14, dear.
14.
And he has autism.
That's right. So, okay. So what question do we want to start off with?
What was your favorite part of furlough in America?
My favorite part was probably getting to see all my old friends again and reuniting with them and playing with them.
Abraham, what was your favorite part?
When Rachel drew a nice picture of me.
Yeah. Rachel is one of your friends from church, isn't it? She... You guys had a lot of fun together while we were in America, didn't you?
Yes.
So what was maybe a surprisingly difficult part of furlough?
When we had to wait a long time for a bathroom.
Because in our house in America, there was only one bathroom and we just...
I didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah, it was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. So we had 7 people and one little bathroom.
3-bedroom, 1-bath.
Sorry, yeah.
Yes.
1-bath. So we had 7 people and one little bathroom that we all had to share.
It was so hard to wait for the girls to get out of the shower.
Yeah.
They always locked the door.
What else? Anything else?
What was it? Wednesday night church.
Wednesday night church, that was a bad thing? That was a good thing. You like Wednesday night church.
So what was different from Malawi about America?
First of all, they drive on different sides of the road.
Yeah.
And the steering wheel in cars are on a different side.
Abe, anything else?
Now we have more bathrooms instead of one.
Abe, what is something that you were really excited to get back to in Malawi that you had missed while you were in America?
Was it mangoes, Jessica, being outside in the pretty weather, anything?
Playing in the rain.
We did come back right in the middle of rainy season, right? What? So you've had a lot of opportunities to play in the rain the last couple of months, haven't you?
Yes.
The thing I'm probably most excited to, I was most excited to get back to was having my own bathroom in my own room that nobody else likes to go in there because it stinks.
Yeah, and I can have my own privacy in there, my own property.
Boys will be boys. All right. Well, thank you, boys, for coming on and sharing your thoughts.
You're welcome.
Oh, me, those boys. So, is it time for our favorite part of the show?
Everyone's favorite part of the show.
What you reading?
So, what you reading?
I am reading a book called Ito in Autism Land, which we've actually owned for a while, and I don't know.
I started to say, you haven't ever read it before?
No, and I don't know why I haven't read it before now, but it's written by a boy named Ito.
Which is spelled I-D-O, right?
Yes. He's now a young adult, and he is non-speaking autistic, like Jude. And he's learned how to communicate using a letter board and spelling. And he's also learning how to use like a computer or something as well. But he's
what in the autism community, they call themselves spellers, right?
Yes.
So he's a speller.
Yeah. And so he's written this whole book, and it's mostly like short journal articles is kind of how it started, which I think eventually blossomed into a blog, and a lot of the parts of the book are from his blog. But he's so insightful about his condition, and it's been so eye-opening to read, and so encouraging, and I highly recommend it for anybody who knows or loves or works with anybody who is non-speaking. You know, they are just like you and me on the inside, mm-hmm. you know, and they just have this very frustrating problem of not being able to make their bodies, including their mouths, do what their brain wants them to do, or not do things that they don't want to do. And Ito just communicates it so beautifully, and I'm so thankful for this book.
Awesome. Well, I also have not read it, even though it's been on the shelf for a while, so maybe I'll finally get around to it.
You really need to.
Yeah. So right now I am reading a book named Scribes and Scripture by my friend John Mead and Peter Gurry, both at Phoenix Seminary. And really fantastic book for anybody who is interested in the Bible, because it goes through several different topics about the composition of the Bible, which is something I think we all need to be aware of.
Hmm.
It talks about translation. It talks about copying the manuscripts of the Bible. It talks about canonization process. Why do we have some books in the Bible and not other books? And of course, this is a area of controversy and attack on the truth of Christianity, going back to, you know, the Da Vinci Code. With what year was that? 2003 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just being abreast of the development of the Bible as a document, as a canon and translation, just knowing that. And it's in a very simple, easy way for anybody to read. So Highly recommend that to everybody.
I was about to ask, it sounds super nerdy. Is it written for academics like yourself?
No, it's not written for academics. It's more popular level book. So it's meant for your regular average Joe. And I think that John and Peter actually are doing conferences along with the book in different churches across the country. Kind of giving the content in a conference situation. Mm. So really, really recommend it. 5-star. And thanks to John for giving me the copy when we were in Phoenix. And glad I finally got around to reading it.
Cool. Thanks for listening. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube at Gospel Life Go.